chapter 2. I'm continually struck by the parallels between the Bible study hour and the preaching hour. You will notice some of them today in a repetition. Not coincidental, it is intentional. We didn't plan it that way, but the Lord did. We should take it to be such. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshy lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man, for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that ye with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty as a cloak for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only the good and gentle, but also to the froward. This is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins, and his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your soul. I want to speak to you this morning from the substance of verse 15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Silencing ignorance. That's the topic. Silencing ignorance. From the quietness in the building, I might say we've already done that. It won't be quite long. Ignorance speaks. You know that? You hear it all around you all the time. Ignorance is not naturally silent. Someone said, some wise saying about a person who did not speak very much, he said, I'd rather remain silent and be thought ignorant than speak and remove all doubt. Ignorance is not naturally silent. It speaks. It speaks not uncertainly, but dogmatically. Now, some of these things I'm going to say about ignorance are not in themselves bad. There are times when they're good. But ignorance arrogates to itself these excellent characteristics. It speaks dogmatically, simply because somebody speaking dogmatically doesn't mean that you listen to knowledge or wisdom. Ignorance speaks, and generally when it speaks dogmatically. It speaks confidently and incessantly. It speaks confidently and incessantly, not because it has something to say, but because it doesn't. I saw a little motto years ago pinned up in a man's kitchen that said this, that education transforms cocksure ignorance to thoughtful uncertainty. When a man begins to learn something, he quiets him down. Ignorance speaks, not because it has something to say, but because it does. That's the cause. It's the reason it's so quick to speak, and it speaks so confidently and dogmatically. It does not think. It does not consider. It does not meditate, otherwise it wouldn't be ignorant, but that doesn't stop it from speaking. Ignorance speaks intemperately. That is, it does not temper what it has to say. It's foolhardy. It rushes in. It speaks intolerantly. It will brook no challenge. It will accept no moderation. It speaks utterly intolerantly and uncharitably, unlovingly. You read the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, talks about charity behaves itself, doth not behave itself unseemly. Ignorance speaks uncharitably, unlovingly, intolerantly. And ignorance must be silenced. And that's what we're talking about, silencing ignorance. Now, before we're through today, I trust we will understand exactly what the Bible's talking about when it talks about silencing ignorance. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to stop all the voices and all the mouths in the world. That's not what it's talking about. It has an area which it addresses that is the church's responsibility. The Bible says the church is life. Life is truth. Life is wisdom. Life is information. Shining in darkness, which is ignorance and lies and deception. Many things the church has a responsibility to do. It's to silence ignorance. That's not a thing in the world, but shining light in darkness. When you turn the light on, what happens to the darkness? It disappears. And it is the church's responsibility to silence this ignorance. Now, there are different kinds of ignorance which require different means to which they must be addressed. Some ignorance may be addressed by saying things, and it can only be addressed by saying things, by speaking, by words. And there are certain ignorances that can only be addressed by doing things. It cannot be addressed and helped by words or by saying anything. It's been remarkable to me how close a parallel, as I've got into 1 Peter here, in many areas we have to Titus. And we have a passage in Titus chapter 1, verse 9, that has something very close to what we're talking about here. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. He's talking about elders, their prime or urgent responsibility. Verse 9, Titus 1, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. Now, these gainsayers represent one particular type of ignorance that has to be addressed. Now, a gainsayer is a person who is opposing. He's saying something against. He's opposing the truth. Now, these are people who are in the church and a part of the church, at least in the visible congregation. They are under the ministry of the bishop, the elder, the teachers in the church. Otherwise, how could he exhort them? How can he convince them? These are gainsayers. These are people who are hesitant and obstinate. They're bullheaded. They're stubborn. They're hard-headed. They got all kind of objections. They got all kinds of challenges to what they're being taught. Nevertheless, they're teachable. Now, we need to make some distinction here. We got some hard heads around. Some of y'all just plain old bull-headed and obstinate. Some of you are. You really are. That's the kind of people talking about here. And sometimes you almost give the appearance of being goats. You want a butt so much. Somebody says something, you say, yeah, but. Yeah, but. Well, that's gainsay. And it comes out against the truth. But these are people, nevertheless, that are under the ministry, in the ministry, and it says they have to be convinced, they have to be persuaded, and they have to be exhorted, and they can be. These are people who are not quitting. They keep coming back. They ain't blowed off and run off yet. Now, you can't silence this kind of ignorance by just acting right and smiling and being good and a good old boy, but just backslapping and hee-hawing and good joy and acting right. That's not going to convince them anything. The only way this kind of ignorance can be silenced is by the truth. That's what the Bible says. Holding fast the word of truth as he has been taught, that he may by sound doctrine, convince the gainsayers and exhort them into the truth. This is to be done by the truth and by reason. By reason. Now, a stubborn person, an obstinate person, is not absolutely unreasonable. In fact, he can be appealed to by reasonable people. Simply because you're stubborn does not mean that you're unreasonable. It means that you're going to have some good, sound, convincing reason. Now, a person who cannot be convinced by reason is a fool. He's not just a stubborn person, he's a fool. But these are obstinate people, must be reasoned with by reason and by passion. Now, you are observing passion right now. I am speaking to you passionately. I am. I feel strongly about what I'm saying. I think I'm yelling. I ain't mad about it. I just want to convey to you that my whole being is caught up in this. My heart's in it. You're not going to persuade people very much without some exhibition of pathos and passion and urgency. You can't just pull it out and say, well, take it or leave it, you know, whatever you say. No. There must be passion in this matter. That's what exhortation is. It is, by definition, a passionate undertaking. It's bringing forth the truth in a reasonable, logical, rational way and passionately exhorting people to consider this thing. That's the only way that can be addressed. Then this same text speaks of another type of ignorance that must be addressed. These are called subverters. Subverters. Verse 10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. Now you see where we parallel the more in the earlier message. Especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Now, these are subverters. They are false teachers. Teachers of error. They're teaching wrong things. Now, you see the difference in what he just said? The first group over here, the gainsayers, those just oppose the truth. They're obstinate about receiving the truth. But over here, these gainsayers are folks who are propagating the truth. They weren't telling it. They are actively promoting false doctrine. They're false teachers. They're liars. They're deceivers. They are unruly. They're vain. They are greedy graspers. Now, in a sense, we can also say that these are in the church. In the sense, they are indivisible professors of Christianity. That is the outer profession of Christendom. But at the same time, we cannot conscientiously say that a false teacher, one who's vain, empty-headed, that he's greedy, that he's deceptive, he's lying. We cannot say that these are Christians, that they're in the true church. Nevertheless, they are in the professing of the body of professing believers, and as such, within the realm of our reach directly in our preaching and our teaching and our exhortation. Now these subverters, the Bible says their mouths have to be stopped. Now you see a little bit of difference between what we said at the beginning with. We talk about silencing ignorance, but now we're talking about stopping mouths. Is that the same thing? No, it's not exactly the same thing. You can silence ignorance without stopping a mouth. Some mouths are going to be stopped, but the ignorance can be silenced. And it isn't just the ignorance that needs to be silenced. Here, it's the mouth that needs to be stopped. And it doesn't mean you go out there and shove your fist in it, or you give them the lockjaw, or you put a muzzle on them. Once again, here is a metaphor, if we please, that has limited application. Doesn't mean that you stop this fellow, you cut his tongue out. They used to do that to heretics. What they thought was heretics. He's going to open his mouth some more. But mouth's going to have to be stopped. These subverters. What he's saying here, these are would-be teachers and preachers making gain of people, making money, gaining power, gaining prestige as preachers of righteousness. The Bible says their mouths got to be stopped. Such teaching and such talking has to be stopped. How's it done? Well, once again, this cannot be done by just doing good things, by living right, by setting a good example. That won't do it. No. What we've got here is false doctrine, false teaching, false ministry. And it's, again, it's done by the same way, by persuading of sound doctrine to the true believers. It is to be done by making sound converts. Notice down in verse 13, this witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Now, is he talking about converting these false teachers? Is he talking about converting these vain talkers, these liars? I don't think so. What he's talking about is the fact that these Christians are exposed to these subverters. They're hearing these lies. They are being subverted by these false prophets. How are you going to do that? Well, what you're going to do is check all these prophets out. Find them all out. Check them all out. Decide whether they're false prophets or true prophets. And every time the church meets, put up a list here. Now, here's the true prophets and here's the false. Now, you folks don't listen to these people. Listen to these. Give an update every day. Read the religious page on Saturday. Watch all the TV shows with all the grinning idiots waving their Bibles, asking for money. Name them all. Brand them all. So we folks know not to listen to them. No, I'm afraid that's the way we try to do that. But that isn't what he says. How are you going to do that? Well, if we teach people what truth is, somebody comes along and says something else, they know ain't right. What do you do? How you do that? That's the way you stop the mouth of Oral Roberts and Jerry Falwell, Jimmy Swaggart. Yeah, I'm naming them, aren't I? Crystal Cathedral, all those fellas. I don't have to stop that fellow from talking. I'm going to. He's going to. But you see, I stopped his mouth in your ear. He ain't got your ear no more. His mouth been stopped. Hasn't been stopped. I didn't do it. No, sir. For the word of God. The sound truth. This is the way you do that. This is the way you do that. This is the way you go about it. I used to think it was my job to expose all these fellas. Then everybody about it. I didn't do a bit of good. I didn't do a bit of good. For people who have no appetite or no heart for truth, you just drive them closer to them. For people who do have a appetite and heart for truth, they are interested in knowing what the truth is, not who the liars are. They want something to eat. They want to receive me warned against the garbage. They want to know where the biscuits are. Where it is. Where's the table? Put food out there. They'll come. And so this is the way we do it. Making sound converts. By that we stop their influence on true believers. Now, there is a particular kind of ignorance that's in view right here, and it's not subverters, and it is not gainsayers. In fact, this particular kind of ignorance doesn't have anything to do with doctrine or teaching, but ethics and behavior. This kind of ignorance is an ignorance that slanders Christianity, that caricatures Christians, that misrepresents true Christianity. Slanders, caricature, misrepresentation. If you keep up, or if you even expose to the way the media and the entertainment industry treat Christianity, true preachers of the gospel, you'll know that it's always in a distorted caricature, a slanderous misrepresentation of what truth and Christianity, true ministers of the gospel is. Always that way. What we got? We got ignorance. A foolish man. What are we going to do? We're just going to ignore that? Let it go by? Or do not we have an admonition to silence that ignorance, and you don't do it by writing petitions to Hollywood or boycotting the theater? You'll do that anyhow. That isn't the way this kind of ignorance is silenced. Now, this exhortation has much to teach us, much positive truth to teach us, and we can gain much benefit from it. What does it teach us? First of all, it teaches us this, that true Christianity and Christians will always be spoken against. They will be spoken against in this manner, falsely accused. And that it is a mark and it is a test of true Christianity, and without it there's grounds for grave doubt that it's Christianity at all. And when it is present, that is this slandering, this evil speaking against true Christians, it is an occasion for rejoicing. The prophet said in Luke chapter 2 verse 34, I believe it was Simeon, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, the prophet said that he would be for a sign to be spoken against throughout the world. Jesus Christ, Christianity, would be a sign to be spoken against. Now that was the first thing that's said about the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Do you think you can be a follower of Christ by the name of Christian and not partake of that sign, spoken against, slandered, railed against? Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. When men speak evil against you, say all manner of evil against you, what do you do? Rejoice! Be exceedingly glad, for so persecuted they the prophets before you, and they reviled you. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I have some Christian friends, and I use the word Christian in quotations, not facetiously, not doubtfully. It's a puzzle to me to tell me they don't know what that means. I don't know what persecution is. I've never been slandered, railed against as a Christian. I don't know what this tribulation is. That'd scare me. That would bother me. We've had people come to this church right here. And here no longer for one reason, for that very reason, because people talk against about being persecuted and railed. It ain't never happened to me. I don't know what they're talking about. The Bible says all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall experience it. Philippians chapter 1, let me read this to you from, unless I misquote it. Philippians chapter 1. And verse 28. And in nothing, terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. He calls it an evident token of salvation. Something to be rejoiced in. It is a mark, and it's a test of true Christianity. Being slandered, being caricatured. Now, this particular kind of ignorance cannot be silenced by confrontation. Now, the other kind must be. It must be silenced, that is, gainsaying, subverters. It must be silenced by confronting verbally with the truth. But you can't handle this kind like that. Not at all. That's the way we generally try to handle it. Debate, arguing, wrangling, exchanging insult for insult. They caricature us, we paint a worse picture of them, putting folks down, making them look ludicrous, ridiculous. No, you don't handle it this way. You cannot do it with more mouth. You can't stop these mouths by more mouth. These people out there against me. But I'm going to see if I can get many people hollering for me. And you get a louder yelling match. He cannot be done with louder mouth. Well, what I need to do is get some more radio exposure, some more TV exposure. What I need to do is publish a little bit more. No, cannot be done by smarter mouth. I'm going to seminary where I learn how to handle this bit. I'm going to study the Bible some more. Whatever you won't learn. You don't do that with smarter mouth. Nor can it be done with smoother mouth. I know what the brother was talking about a while ago when he said the criteria that the denomination hands down to get a preacher, that's what you get. You get more mouth, you get louder mouth, you get smarter mouth, you get smoother mouth. And they're no good. That'll get the job done. No, that's not it. You cannot handle it like that. It cannot be addressed that way. It cannot be addressed by confrontation, nor can it be addressed by, now listen carefully, conformity. Conformity? Yeah, conformity. People out there accusing you of doing evil. All right, we'll just go ahead and conform. We'll do like they say we do. You mean people professing to be Christians do that? Incredibly, yes. That is precisely the way they address it. People who are supposed to silence ignorance, not by well-doing, but by evil doing. I think them Christians is like us. They cheat, lie, steal, commit adultery, cut, drink, carry on. They just hypocrites. They just like we are. They ain't better different from us. They just sinners just like we are. You know what they do? Well, we are enlightened. answer these allegations of wrongdoing by flaunting our evil. Sure, I'm a liar. Yeah, I'm a thief. I'm so sorry, I ain't good for nothing. I'm just like you are. I lust after women. I nip a little on the side, hide around and do it. Some folks don't do that. Yes, sir. That's what Gray said. Yes, sir. Now we all sinners. We rotten to the core. Just a sign. Ain't worth the powder to take to blow us up. Yet, that's the grace of God. That's where we glorify God, by evil doing. You mean to tell me that such a breed exists in this world today that supposes to combat ignorance by evil doing? Yes, sir. Big section of so-called Christianity do that, and these dishonor God and give occasion for more ignorance, noise. No, they answer all these allegations of wrongdoing by flaunting evildoing as being under grace. Now, the Lord has already dealt with that in here. He says in the 16, as free, and not using as your liberty as a cloak for maliciousness, but as the servants of God. No, silencing this particular brand of ignorance is not stopping mouths. It isn't. A fool's mouth's not going to be stopped. He's going to keep on talking. You're not going to stop him from talking. You think you are? You're just mistaken. He will not think, nor he will not listen to reason. And I can demonstrate that. He's given us here the example of Jesus Christ. How the Lord silenced ignorance. And he did not do it by confrontation, but he did it with well-doing. But he didn't stop the mouth. You notice it? That fool, ignorant man, still slanders Jesus Christ. You know that ignorant still suspects Jesus Christ and his disciples being a group of homosexuals, and that Jesus had a thing going with Mary Magdalene? Yes, sir, you hear that kind of ignorance. Well, we just had a movie, didn't we? What did they call it? The Last Temptation of Christ. What was that? As ignorant, it's already about died away. It's silent. It's still thinking. Fools are still yelling it, publishing it. As I say, anytime you go to see a screen, anytime you pick up a book, anytime you read it from the media concerning Christ and Christianity, that's the ignorance you'll read. But you know what? He won't fly. Even the world knows better than that. They know better than that. That old centurion stood out there at the death of Jesus Christ and said, surely this was a righteous man. He on the cross said, this man hath done no evil. They know that. Let me give you a testimony to it. You know that atheists, infidels, nowadays call themselves Christians. Yeah, Christian atheists. I read a commentator, and these news commentators recently, and said it's ludicrous. It's stupid to believe that only people who believe the Bible are Christians. He said, I'm upright, just as much Christian as anybody. What is he saying? He said, I do right. I'm moral. I'm upright. Jesus Christ is synonymous with righteousness, even to the unbelieving world. That's ignorant speaking. Ain't got no voice, got no sound, got no weight. Mouth still running, but no ear. Now you don't have to worry about that. Next time they come out with a blasphemous movie about Jesus Christ or about the church or Christianity, don't have to worry about that. Ain't gonna get no ear. Got no sound. Oh no, dear friend, our Lord Jesus Christ, in his short time on this earth, silenced all of that ignorance. He'll never have a voice. He'll never be heard. How'd he do it? Didn't do it with the teaching. The world don't believe his teaching. But they cannot deny his righteousness. That's the way this ignorance is silenced. It's silenced with well-doing. This kind of ignorance can only be silenced by one thing. By well-doing. Now is this something that we take up as an auxiliary that we add to our Christian life. It's a heart of our calling. What do you mean, the heart of our calling? We are called to silence the slander against us with well-doing. We see this in verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. All who seek eternal life do this. Let me read that to you from Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. This is a striking verse. Sounds almost like salvation by works. It says, when the Lord comes, verse 6, Romans 1, who will render to every man according to his deed? According to what you did. The Bible says he's going to do that. He's going to reward you according to the way you live. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. He did not say, I want to say that he did not say that they hope to earn eternal life by well-doing. But those who seek eternal life live a life of well-doing, not evil-doing. Well-doing is our calling. All who seek eternal life do it. This glorifies God. Verse 12 tells us, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, as whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, your good behavior, which they shall behold, glorify God. That reminds me of that passage in Matthew where he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. The old antinomian says, I'm not going to live a Pharisee and go out there and just act right that folks might see me acting right. The Bible says you do, that you light so shine that they might see you doing it. You have to be ashamed of that. The Bible says don't hide your good work. So you don't go down the street blowing a horn, say, look here, but you don't run off in the closet and hide it. You do it in the presence of people, in the presence of this world. Glorify him. This disarms our enemy. Yes, it does. It disarms what well doing. It quenches the flames of passion. It's hard to fight a fella that won't fight. It's hard to knock a fella down and keep kissing you on the cheek. It's hard to do that. It disarms our enemies and quenches the flames of passions, and it utterly discredits the railers. It exposes their foolishness and their irrationality. These people don't have any credibility, dear friends. Their mouth's not going to be stopped. They're going to keep on doing it. That's right. They can put you in the place where you can feel compassion for them because they're just making a fool of themselves. Advertising their ignorance, the more they speak, the more silent their ignorance becomes. It's silent. But most of all, dear friends, it identifies us with the Savior. We like him. The Bible says we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Amen. Anyone have a word today?